When I first spoke with Stephen Colbert in January 2005, he was a correspondent for The Daily Show with Jon Stewart on Comedy Central. We talked again at the end of the year, soon after he fulfilled the dream of every fake news correspondent by becoming the host of his own program. We have excerpts of both interviews, starting with the first about his work on The Daily Show. Well, who are some of the press people you have modeled your persona on?
Stone Phillips, number one. A, for his hair, which is majestic. It used to be. He got this close-cropped kind of Matt Lauer thing recently that I can't pull off and therefore I don't emulate. And what a neck on that guy. Just a beautiful, manly, like lacrosse player's neck. And a name like Stone. And he's got a way of tilting his head when he talks, you know, when he makes a point and he goes, you know, there were no survivors. You know, he tilts his head to go, it's true. There were none. We looked. There were none there. It's sad. And Geraldo for his, you know, I read an interview with him once saying, I'm like a battleship on patrol when I go jogging in Central Park. I'd love to see somebody get mugged because I'd bring the hammer down. And I think, well, that's the heart of his persona. He really is changing the world with every interview he does. A little bit, just syllable by syllable. He is just changing the great ship of human destiny with his will toward justice. I mean, my character on The Daily Show is essentially a very well-intentioned, poorly informed person. And, you know, very high status idiot who really thinks that he's, you know, we're going to bust things wide open with this report. When in fact, he never has an idea of what he's talking about.
You know what I love about the character? You have such like incredible diction when you're doing the Daily Show correspondent character.
Why, thank you very much, Terry. Amidst the mists with fiercest frosts. And barest wrists and stoutest boasts. He thrusts the fists against the post and still insists he sees the ghosts, John.
That's really great. Is that an acting exercise for diction?
It is indeed. Martha and Margaret walked arm in arm to the charming park not far from their father's house, John.
That's wonderful.
Thank you very much.
It was easy to think that Lisa Kudrow might resemble the not-so-bright character of Phoebe that she played on Friends. Until Kudrow began playing smart people in smart and funny films like The Opposite of Sex and Happy Endings. In 2005, she starred in the HBO mockumentary series The Comeback. I spoke with her in 2003, and she told me how she got started acting.
When I was little, I wanted to be an actress, and I just put it on a shelf when I was in high school and college. Really squelched any of those desires. And whenever I'd come back from college on a break, I'd get these little like whispers or feelings about, yeah, I could do this. I think you could do this. It's like, yeah, but you can't, you know, be an actual person that you'd respect and do this. So just put it away again and go back to school, do something honorable. And when I moved back, it just overtook me. I don't know how else to say it. It just overtook me that I had to pursue acting. I could do it, and I wanted to do it.
Where did you start?
I started with John Lovitz, who I grew up with. That's my brother's best friend and like a brother to me. And I had seen him struggle, you know, for a long time, and finally he was working. He got on Saturday Night Live, and I just finally let him know, I think I'm going to pursue this now. And he said, great, go to the Groundlings. So I've taken a lot of acting classes. I studied it in college. I've never learned more than I learned from the Groundlings and doing improvisation.
When he told you to go there, did they just, like, let you in?
No, absolutely not. No, they called up and said, when I called them, they said, what's your experience? And I said, well, in junior high, and so they said, yeah, here we're going to refer you to this teacher who we work with a lot. And she was a godsend. Her name's Cynthia Seghetti. And she was the best thing that could have happened to me.
How come?
Because she didn't take no for an answer. And embarrassment was not an option. You just had to do it. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And, you know, it's improvisation, and that could be scary. And some of the exercises look really silly, like lifting a disc, you know. And I thought, that's so actory and embarrassing. I just can't. And the second class, I came in late, and she was just, you know, talking everyone through it. She wasn't, like, warm and nurturing, although she was warm. But she was, come on, do it. You can do it. Stop laughing. We'll laugh. We'll tell you when it's funny. You know, just how to stay committed. She just forced you, sort of like with a gun to your head, mm-hmm. you know, on being louder and staying committed. And I'm watching these people lift a disc, and I'm so embarrassed for them, except for one guy who's doing it. And now I understand what being committed is. He was so committed that it wasn't embarrassing. He looked like he was lifting a disc. He wasn't overdoing it. He wasn't embarrassed. He wasn't commenting on it. He was just there acting like he's lifting a disc. And I understood what commitment was from that.
Is this a disc like a discus thrower?
There's nothing there. You're right. Pretending like, no, everyone's standing around in a circle and you're all working together to lift a disc.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. So it's a group exercise.
Yeah, but there's this one guy who's doing it, and he's not embarrassing to me. And I thought, all right, well, I got to be friends with that guy. That's for sure. And it was Conan O'Brien.
Oh.
Yeah. So we became friends, you know, from that class on.